The Holy Gospel on this Christ the King Sunday from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, before you sit down, I'm going to have you all turn around for a minute and give your attention to the back window. At the very center of that back window is a depiction of Jesus on his throne. And let me just reread to you a couple of the verses from this Christ the King Sunday's lectionary. First, from the beginning of our gospel, Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." And if you can see a little bit, he's surrounded. On the left, Archangel Michael, and on the right, Archangel Gabriel, surrounded by the angels. And at the bottom, in the second and fourth panels, are angels holding the words Sanctus. They're calling back and forth to each other, "Holy, holy, holy." And this from our second reading from Ephesians: "God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hang on to that image and go ahead and have a seat. And my apologies to those of you for whom mobility was a limiting factor. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My sermon title this morning is Glory Revealed. And I think when we think about glory revealed, these are the kinds of verses we think of. That Jesus is on his throne, eternity is settled, and the kingdom is glorious. These are the things we think of when we hope of life everlasting. And certainly these are images painted by Scripture. Musicians and artists over the centuries have tried to describe in their arts what they think these holy visions might look like. Haven't you wondered? You've all heard the jokes about the streets paved with gold. The poor guy that wanted to pack a suitcase for heaven and filled it with gold. St. Peter said, well, why are you bringing pavement? Because the glories of God are so different than the earthly riches that we can imagine. But in today's gospel, we have a completely different perspective. Just as we do in this church, when we look at the back wall, we see the glory of God revealed. When we look at the front, we see some very human images. We see the birth of Christ. We see Mary and Martha. We see Christ in the garden, Christ on the cross. That's that mother, behold your son, behold your mother text. And we see the risen Christ, but we see him with his wounds intact. That's a different image from the image in the back. This is the image that Matthew paints for us in his gospel. Matthew says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne in his glory. But it's also a confounding text, because Matthew also, in this text, says Jesus equates himself not with the gloriously wealthy, or the gloriously powerful, or the gloriously in charge of whatever, but Jesus equates himself to the hungry and thirsty and stranger and naked and sick and imprisoned. If Jesus' earlier words about the first being last and the last being first weren't clear enough, here they are again. There's an up-and-coming young Episcopal priest. His name is David Henson. And he tells a story about when he was just first becoming a priest, and his mentor looks him up and down and says, okay, there's two things you need to do before you get into the parish. You need to get some shiny new black shoes, and you need to trim your nose hairs. He said, because when people come up and receive communion, they're going to kneel at the altar, and they're going to look at your shoes, and when you give them the bread, they're going to look up in your nose. I hope that's not true. But he took that seriously. And at the time, he was a young seminary graduate, just going out on his first call, and his wife was a medical resident. So, I mean, these two were poor as church mice, but educated beyond education. And so they didn't have much money. But a family member came through, got him some shoes for Christmas. Well, of course, they were not comfortable at all. And they looked more like tux shoes. So he started walking around in these squeaky shoes that did not fit him at all. And it didn't take long to figure, I really need to go and exchange these. So after the holidays, he took them back to a department store, hoping to exchange them for something pretty even up because there wasn't much money left in the budget. And he was not doing very well finding anything that worked. And his wife finally said, just do what you have to do. Let's just get you some shoes. And so he got a pair of shoes that were shiny and new and black and fairly comfortable. But they knew they were going to have to put them on credit because they just didn't have the money. So he took the shoes to the register to make the exchange and reluctantly handed the cashier his credit card for the remaining balance, whatever it might have been. But instead of taking the card, the cashier handed him a rolled up $100 bill and explained that someone else had taken care of it already. He looked around, the shoe department was empty, he didn't see anyone, so he never got to thank the anonymous donor or to protest their generosity. Surely someone else could use that $100 more than I could. But he really, really appreciated them. But then he remembered, and it struck him, that according to Jesus' words in the Gospel of Matthew, in my 4 years of being a priest, he said, the time when I was the most like Christ wasn't when I was visiting the sick or those up on a criminal charge about to go to prison, wasn't when I was offering food to the hungry, wasn't when I was advocating for those on the margins or those without homes, wasn't when I was doing to the least of these. Now, David Henson is actually famous for being one of those Matthew 25 kind of priests. But he said, the one time when I was most like Christ, most identified with Christ, was that moment in the department store when I was the least of these to an unknown stranger. And they clothed me when I was in need. He goes on to say, how humbling and unnerving. Often Christians will talk about being Christ to others by helping the poor, the hungry, and the so-called least lost and lonely. But in truth, to be Christ, we ourselves must be the lost, the lonely, and the least. That's a moment to give pause. Have you had those holy moments? when you could do no more for yourself, but only by the grace of God, there was someone else there for you. What were those moments? What were those grace moments? Because those are holy, holy moments. I recall a couple years ago during Holy Week, when I found myself hospitalized with a cardiac issue, and the nurse said, "Your pastor's here." And I said, "Which one?" And in comes Tom Larson, and he holds my hand, and he prays with me. And that was a holy moment, because I didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what was going on. But in the held hand and in the prayer offered with God there, where two or three are gathered, I'm there, God was there. And I knew I was in a holy moment. Same thing happened about an hour later when Mike Clark stops by. This nurse comes in and says, "Your pastor's here." I love it. And on Monday, Thursday, they're all dressed in their full blacks. So, but still, pastors don't realize this. Or if you visit people in the hospital, what an effect it is to be the presence of the living God, offering hope when somebody's not sure what's going to happen next. It's a grace moment. And in that time, the one who is poured out is the one that Jesus is identifying with. Jesus, who poured himself out for us. Nobody wants to be in the position of least or powerless or weak or dependent on others for food or water or shelter, companionship or clothing. And sometimes as church people, we look at that word, "do unto these," as a word of law. And of course, Lutherans always want to be very careful not to fall off the fence either to law or gospel. And sometimes "do unto others" seems like law. But let me read for you a poem. And it's about relationship. It's about what happens in relationship when you're doing for the least and last and lost and lonely. It's called "The Red Brocade." The Arabs used to say, "When a stranger appears at your door, feed him for 3 days before asking who he is, where he's come from, where he's headed. That way he'll have strength enough to answer. Or by then, you'll be such good friends you don't care." Let's go back to that. Rice, pine nuts, here, take the red brocade pillow. My child will serve water to your horse. No, I wasn't busy when you came. I was not prepared to be busy. See, that's the armor everyone puts on, to pretend they had a purpose in the world. I refuse to be claimed. Your plate is waiting. We will snip fresh mint into your tea. That was Naomi Shihab Nye, if you want to see that poem later. You see, in Jesus' time, in his culture, this wouldn't have been heard simply as a call to charity and alms. I have extra, so I will give extra. But it was a call to relationship. To feed the hungry would have been to welcome them to your table. to give them water when thirsty would have been to go with them to the well, to clothe them would have been to bring them into your home, to visit them while sick and in prison would have been to be in relationship with them. It would have been to humanize those dehumanized or overlooked and see them beyond the category of the least, until the point that your own association with them meant that you too were the least in the eyes of your community, your neighbors, and even your family. This text is a call to deep relationships, beyond ones based on charity. Jesus said, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. The first will be last, the last will be first." Philippians talks about Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And that is where Jesus' glory is revealed. The peace of Christ that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.